It's Tuesday. It's April 24th. I feel like if you're going to start a podcast, that's how you have to start it. I have done my research, and by research, I mean I've listened to three podcasts, and that's how they all started. So it is Tuesday. It is April. It is the 24th day of the month. And I figure this is as good a day as any to start my very own podcast. I like to talk. I like to hear myself talk. So this seems like a pretty good platform for me to dabble in. One of the things that I like to talk about, I'm in my 30s. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm in my 30s somewhere. Okay, I'm older. I'm like 35-ish, maybe a year older than that. And I like everything about the 90s and the 2000s. I'm that guy. I hate everything new, and I like everything from my childhood and then my 20s, my early 20s. So I'm that guy. I'm quickly becoming the sports fan that calls, like, if there's a guy that's named McMahon, I'll call him Jim McMahon, just because that's what my brain defaults to, because I'm getting old and I'm becoming that guy. So, but I like the Bears. I like the Cubs. I'm a big Illini fan. There's a lot to talk about there. I could probably make a whole entire podcast episode after episode after episode talking about those three teams, especially the Cubs. There's a lot to talk about there. A lot to talk about. And I'm a real Cub fan too. I'm not one of these. I know Cub fans get a bad rap because, you know, you just like to go to Wrigley Field and get drunk. Well, I do like to go to Wrigley Field to get drunk. However, I am a real Cub fan. I'm a third generation. My grandpa watched every game. Actually, I might even be fourth generation. I don't know. Probably am. I've been going to Cubs games since I was 5 years old. I remember my first Cub game very vividly. Keith Moreland hit a home run to center field. Rafael Palmeiro hit a home run, and the Cubs beat the Pirates. Yeah, I'm a real fan. So I don't pretend like everything's good if everything is shitty. I like to stay optimistic. Okay, no, I don't. I really like to be as pessimistic as I can. But also, I'm a fan, and I'm a front runner too. If they're doing good, I'm right there. Like, we're the best team that's ever been created. So I'm definitely that guy. I got the inspiration to do this from Twitter. I love being on Twitter. I'm kind of sad that I didn't even notice it until recently and that I've been able to enjoy it. I realized the very first thing that I've realized from Twitter is that sports fans are psychopaths. And the biggest psychopaths that are sports fans are college sports fans, especially if you happen to go to that college. It's like a cult. And I really feel like people, you know, would stab somebody in the face or whatever they would have to do for their school, especially if it's a rival. I got into an argument with some Missouri fans about the bragging rights game. I don't even understand why Illinois is, they've won 5 bragging rights games and basketball games in a row, and I don't even understand why it's a rivalry anymore. And they brought up, like, my arrest record. Like, they literally Google searched my name and they brought up my arrest record, which, arrest record and conviction record, completely separate things. So, you know, I have a great batting average as far as arrests to convictions. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I was completely shocked by that. Anyway, sports fans, psychopaths. One of the biggest topics that I love, and this is my favorite Twitter topic, is the LeBron MJ GOAT debate. I'll stop what I'm doing and I will argue with you about it. I will have that debate with you. I will be walking in traffic. I will stop. I will pull my phone out and I will have this conversation with you. And I will die on a hill with LeBron as my GOAT. I will die on that hill. A bloody, gory death. I will go down in that hail of bullets. I don't care. LeBron can do more than Michael Jordan on a basketball court. We can talk about it. So there's all of that. I think the biggest thing for me, I think one of the things that's overlooked in the annals of sports history is the Rocky Apollo Creed beach run from, I believe it was Rocky One. This isn't made as big a deal as it should be. Rocky and Apollo Creed are rivals. Rocky is running, tension face, muscles expanded, exerting every ounce of energy he possibly can while racing Apollo Creed on the beach. And Apollo Creed is jogging and laughing. He's sandbagging for Rocky. I am appalled at that scene. And I feel like I need to talk about it with as many people as I can. And another thing that bothers me, Clubber Lang, since I'm talking about Rocky, Clubber Lang, he could have been a great champion. I feel like he wasn't built for success. He was from the mean streets, and he wasn't ready for that type of success. I think if he would have had better people around him, he would have been a better champion. Rocky was a bad matchup for him because he was, as we found out later, he was like a piece of iron. And Clubber Lang, you know, he's a power puncher, so he's not as equipped to go deep into a fight. Definitely not as much as Apollo Creed. But here's my issue with everything that has to do with Clubber Lang. Where did he go after the Rocky loss? Okay, and here's my point. I mean, did he go into promotion? Did he get into the entertainment industry? What happens? Here's my point. Why was 50-year-old Apollo Creed fighting the Russian juiced up, roided out freak show that was Ivan Drago? The test tube boxing phenomenon. I know it was an exhibition match, but I think Clubber Lang, I think the whatever boxing federation set that up, I think Clubber Lang would have been the better choice there. He's coming off the Rocky loss. He's younger. He's hungrier. He's got a little bit more to prove than Apollo Creed. I know they didn't realize how good Drago was, but they could have. I think Apollo Creed was probably, maybe Apollo Creed was going to sell more tickets. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know, but in my mind, Clubber Lang is the better opponent for Drago right out of the gate. I mean, Drago did beat Apollo Creed to death. So hindsight, I know, but at the same time, you know, let's put the bull from the mean streets in there against the Russian assassin. I wish I could remember his nickname. I can't. And if you ever have a chance someday, go and listen to Drago's theme music, his intro song. It's creepy as shit. I didn't realize it until I started working out and I used a lot of the Rocky theme songs to like run on the treadmill with. And Drago, I just got in a YouTube rat hole and Drago's intro music was there. It's fucking creepy, man. So check that out someday with whatever you're doing. One more thing. Can I just say this? Drago wasn't on his I must break you game when he fought Rocky. Because if he dies, he dies. I don't know what happened. Drago barely did anything to Rocky's face. After the Clubber Lang fight, Rocky was darn near disfigured. After the Apollo Creed fight, he was in the hospital with brain damage for weeks or however long. I don't know. He needed a wheelchair by the time to get out of there. After the Drago fight, you know, he's got like a couple bruises and that's pretty much it. And he's so Drago, I don't know how strong was Drago. That's I don't think we've really talked about that at length like we should. He killed Apollo Creed. Maybe Apollo. What do we not know about Apollo Creed? Is there something more going on there? You know. So those are just some of the things, the important issues that I like to talk about. You know. Again, I like the Cubs. I like to hate the Cubs. I'm basically win or lose is with the Cubs is how I feel about the team. If they win, I feel good about the team. If they lose, I am fucking, they're fucking terrible. So, that's how I feel. There's a story that I'm going to share with everybody. It's a traumatic story from my teenage years. And it's about a game on Sega Genesis called NBA Live. I believe it was NBA Live. I'm not even sure. It was the next generation game. It was like the big deal. It was right after Bulls versus Blazers. It did the Bulls versus Blazers what Bulls versus Blazers did to Double Dribble. So it was like the revolutionary new game. And I completely geeked out on it. And I really feel like I created 150 new players on that game, and I really feel like I need to talk about what happened. Sega Genesis was not prepared for my level of geekdom, and it didn't have it couldn't store all of the information that I loaded into it. So I'm gonna share that story with you guys someday. And it's going to be fun. Because I remember those games back in the day. You could play one season, and then you either won the championship or you didn't. And you won the championship because then you would just, if you were going to lose, you would just start the game over. So, and you got like the generic celebration after you won, like the shadowy figures. And then maybe there was some like standstill graffiti, and then like a still shot of the trophy and the team in really bad graphics. Like that's what we had to deal with. Kids nowadays, they play like a My Life. Like they actually can create a guy and live out a life and have agents and they have an apartment, and they can play franchise and seasons and you know, their salary caps and all that. And back then it was just like one season with your team and that's it. And then you just start over. You win the championship and good for you. And not, you know, go ahead and play it again. You know, well, so I thought of something to make that game more interesting. And I'm going to share that story hopefully in one of these episodes, maybe the next one. But I'm just feeling my way through this. I really don't know if I'm even doing this right. So I guess I'm going to sign off now. And I don't know. Everybody have a good day and fuck off, I guess, or not. But either way, see ya.